Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. Just by going to nerdandtie.com and clicking on the sponsorship link and pay $20, we'd say something neat about you here. Say your name, say, you know, whether or not we think you look kicking in those jeans, and the answer is probably yes. Just go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsor information. Or if you would like to contribute to our legal fund, you can go to gofundme.com/nerdandtie.
On this Fortnite edition of Nerd and Tie, we finally have our CW Batwoman, MRAs get owned by Calgary Expo, Star Trek IV is without both of its Chrises, and we're going to go crazy and pitch a Captain Picard show. All that in the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge on Nerd and Tie.
Woo!
And who isn't excited for bashing MRAs, which is going to be a big chunk of the show today?
I think it's the American pastime.
It should be. What a time, what a place to be. Welcome, everyone. Journeyer, who has traveled here, welcome to Nerd and Tie. We have returned for another fortnight of nerdly excitement.
Apparently we record on Mondays now.
It's been easier, I guess. I don't know. We've all been dealing with various things. Trey had a ground loop. I had a burnout. Acknowledging our mundaneness, and already mentioned by me, is the knower of all things secret, Trey Dorn.
I know all the secrets. And the secrets of those secrets, but not those secrets, but the secrets of the secrets of the secrets of the secrets, I do know again. Yeah.
Nice. And the also joining us is the keeper of the wisdom of Gondor, the one and only Genjamin.
Sup?
That was the least Tolkien in introduction anyone has ever given themselves.
Think of anything.
isn't the wisdom of Gondor throw your son at it and hope he doesn't die, unless it's the other son and then hope he does?
Shh. We don't like talking about
suck.
That.
Light a hobbit on fire.
And last but not least, I have honestly never lit a hobbit on fire. I am Nick Izumi.
not yet.
Not yet, anyway. How's everyone doing this Fortnite?
We're doing, man. We're doing like it's doing. We're doing like Atuin.
Well, we have a...
I got four elephants on my back right now.
Wow. Going Discworld. I like it. I don't know. Do we want to just head straight into our kind of headlines? Because we got some good stuff this week.
Yeah. Exciting stuff, at least.
Exciting stuff. Some stuff that's annoying in places where it shouldn't be. And I guess, you know, I'm going to start with that. So, the CW announced recently that Batwoman is going to be joining what we here on the show like to call the Arrowverse. Pretty cool character. Can't wait to see her on screen. And we finally have an actor cast in the role. It is Ruby Rose has been cast as TV's Batwoman, which was initially met with a lot of excitement. And then suddenly everything started on fire.
This is so weird.
I don't even know where to begin on this one.
This one's a fucking trash fire. Like, okay, so I do like the casting.
Yeah, nothing wrong with her.
Overall.
I don't know her that well, but, you know, she's a gender-fluid actress who will probably be awesome as Batwoman. I'm just excited to see Batwoman in a TV show. That's just exciting on its own, honestly. But
well, she did a season of Orange Is the New Black. She's very good on that. She said some controversial stuff sometimes in her personal life, but overall, is a good actress. And
yeah, see that was the thing. Like when I first heard the casting announcement, someone told me that she said some problematic stuff. So I went and I looked, I went to go try to find something. Like, someone was like, oh, didn't you know she's transphobic? And I was like, oh, really? And I found, like, a quote that I guess if you squinted at it, it could be read as transphobic, but it wasn't, like, outwardly or hurtful. And that's speaking, you know, from it, myself, I didn't find it particularly offensive. And as someone who doesn't consider themselves very binary, you know, that's...
Yeah. It's, and so there's, like... Yeah, so she's come under fire. Like, some people have claimed that she's not a real lesbian, which is weird because she dates women. But secondly, like that's not... Why do we matter? We don't... Like, there are plenty of times where people... Like, you can play a character of a different sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, besides the fact that she exclusively apparently is attracted to women, according to her own statements... Even if she wasn't, that doesn't really matter. Like, it's like representation matters in lots of different ways. Like, you know, if it was a transgender character, then yeah, maybe we'd have an issue with a cisgendered actress playing her. But this isn't ScarJo. This is, you know, this isn't Rub and Tug. This is Batwoman, who is a cisgendered woman. And so playing someone who has had maybe a more fluid gender identity, played by someone who has maybe a little more fluid, gender fluid identity, doesn't really matter too much as, like...
I think she'll be fine.
Like, the actress who plays, I forget her name, but plays the daughter on the Santa Clarita Diet is non-binary, but plays a cisgendered character. Like, we've seen that happen plenty of times. Now, I think there is the criticism that she's not Jewish.
Okay.
And if I, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Batwoman in the comics is.
I'm going to be honest. I've only read a few storylines. I really enjoyed them, but that was not something that came up. Like, I really enjoyed her part in the Rebirth Detective Comics run. But I really don't know.
Yeah, she is
the character's background that well.
Yeah, according to Wikipedia.
Yes.
She the character is Jewish. So that I can understand people complaining about that a little bit.
Can we talk about the complaint that kills me though? That,
yeah.
Like,
yes.
Makes me laugh
let's talk
so
about
freaking
that
hard.
Yeah.
My favorite are the MRAs out there who got so upset that we can't have a cis straight male protagonist in anything. They start rallying because they sincerely believe that there was no Batwoman before this TV show and that this is a brand new reboot meant to replace Batman. Like,
that's so insane.
They honestly believe,
like,
that.
Everybody, I'm sorry, first off, you think if the Arrow people could get permission, if you think Greg Berlanti wouldn't throw Batman on screen as fast as possible if he could get the, like, permission to use him away from the film division?
Uh-huh.
Like, he'd have Bruce Wayne on screen so fast, like...
Bruce Wayne and Oliver Queen would have a Who's the Richest Guy contest.
They've already referred to Bruce Wayne in the Arrowverse. Like,
right.
He would be on screen so fast if they could get permission. The fact is, like, they had to fight to get Tyler Hoechlin's Superman on two episodes of Supergirl. And once they did, they, like, throw him in the intro to every episode to be like, Superman, Superman, even if it's the same footage for the same episodes that we had him on. But, like... Like, they would kill to be able to do a Batman story. They can't, so they grabbed the character. They probably wanted Barbara Gordon, too, but couldn't get permission.
I'm kind of guessing they just went down the line.
Yeah.
Like, I'm honestly kind of guessing that they just went down the line of Batman characters, and this was the first one they were able to get.
Yeah, like, if they hadn't gotten there, it would have been like, okay, so Batwing's up next, all right, and then Jean-Paul Valley, and then, like after having gone through all the Robins and Batgirl and Batman.
Okay, but I like Archangel, and I would really enjoy that.
Not unfair.
Oh, right, it's...
See, I'm still kind of holding out, vain hope here, but something I enjoyed from the Detective Comics run that focused heavily on Batwoman is that she and Tim Drake had a really cool dynamic. And if they could somehow secure the rights to Red Robin and just have, like, have her and Tim Drake being that platonic male-female friendship that fuels me, because I love when TV shows do that. Mm-hmm. That's my jam. If I could get that with two characters who I love, A+, would enjoy the hell out of that. In the event that any of you guys at the CW are listening, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it's so the MRA response has been hilarious because they think, I always love it when people who don't know anything about comics try to call people who do fake or try to delegitimize it. No, this is a pre-existing character. I mean, the original, obviously the rebooted, version's been around for a decade, but the versions of this Batwoman character have been around since before Batgirl. Have been around since before Barbara Gordon, Batgirl. So
I do think it's worth noting, though. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's fine.
Do you have?
No, go ahead.
I watched a fantastic YouTube video about the faux She-Ra controversy from a while ago, and I think the MRA response you're seeing right now is the same as that. And by that I mean, I don't think that most of the really vocal MRA types are actually care about Batwoman, Batgirl, or even, anything DC Comics that much at all.
No.
But what it is that they know that there are people that do who are other insecure dudes, and this is by using that as a topic starter. They're hoping that they can get those dudes to sign on to their bigotry.
Yeah.
It's not, because if you sell it as, hey, do you want to hate women with me? It's a hard sell. But if it's, hey, you want to protect Batman with me? Suddenly it's easier.
Yeah. It's, I know. I just wish it would stop.
I think we all do, though.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, and
I wish these guys would stop, as in breathing and having their hearts beat, and they could die. I don't want any part in how it happens, but I think it would be great if it did.
I wish they would stop going after celebrities' social media accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby had to delete her Twitter account because of these assholes.
Well, it was a combination of them and people reactionaries from multiple sides in this particular case. I think there were a lot of I think it's hard to say in this case because the voices have come from multiple directions on this one, and she never publicly said why she deleted it. But either way, regardless of anyone's political opinion, you shouldn't be harassing actors for playing a part that is appropriately written for them, and
I understand that she may have said some problematic things, but when I look it up on a Google search and I can't find anything of value within the first two pages, and the thing that I do find is squint at it, and it's kind of problematic thing.
It's what I've often the impression I've gotten from her, based on what because this stuff happened back when she was on Orange Is the New Black,
mm-hmm.
That she said things that I would consider iffy, not necessarily outright bad, but just mostly misinformed or ignorant,
right?
And so I was pretty sure most of the community was trying to give her the opportunity to learn, and. The fact is most of it is stuff she said before she was actually most of the stuff she said that was problematic would happen before she was cast on Orange Is the New Black. And, I think that it's just she had a different experience, and I think we got to give people the chance to grow. It's not like she's made these statements recently.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I don't care.
And it's part of this whole nonsense that, like, we're getting to a point where it's so puritanical that people are going after one another saying, like, oh, you said this bad thing 20 years ago. You're an asshole.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be a good person. And it's like, that's ridiculous.
That's the problem. And so the internet never forgets. And that's, and that should be okay, because we should be allowed to then, like, the second part you have to learn, like, there's a thing that, you know, it's, I went to college in the days of early Facebook, and, you know, the things of, oh, you know, be careful what you put on Facebook, because, you know, future employers could see it, and, you know, and people were putting, you know, wilder stuff from their college days up. But the fact is that, like, everybody was doing that, and we're going to live in a world where, but it means that, like, the second half of that is that people have to then learn to forgive and allow people to grow beyond where they were, you know, then. I feel like the James Gunn situation is way too extreme of a difference in his growth to necessarily be applicable, but the fact is he made inappropriate jokes, but he grew as a person and had apologized for those years ago, but the internet would not forgive him. No, except, actually, no, I take that back. The internet did forgive him. Disney got scared about their stupid, massive merger that's slowly destroying the entertainment industry. But,
well said.
Yeah.
It's ugly and it sucks because I just want to give this time. Pardon me. I drank my water and went down the wrong pipe.
No!
Don't breathe your water.
I am not Aquaman, unfortunately.
Nick, don't breathe the water. It's a liquid and you need to breathe air. Nick, don't breathe the water. Sorry.
Fair. I kind of got off track, but I think Gen kind of summed it up well. I love that the internet made a lot of people more, as the kids say, woke when it comes to a lot of social issues. I do wish, and maybe I'm generalizing here, but I do wish the younger people who have learned this wokeness would be less puritanical about it.
Well, it's a very black and white mentality,
It would be way more willing to, like, Jiminy Mimini, like, I identify as non-binary now, but I didn't even know what that was, you know.
Yeah.
Like, as recently as 10 years ago, like,
Most of us, as I say, as a fellow non-binary person.
Jiminy, sorry, go ahead, Gen.
No, I was just gonna, say, I think it's just something about, it's something you realize when you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't realize it in the moment, but looking back, like, personally, I can say I was an asshole. I was a shit kid. Like, I was terrible. But I didn't realize it at the time. I was just a shit kid. You know, I was just doing me.
I've been blogging since I was in my early 20s. I have texts that I've written on the internet, live and readable, going back to the year 2001, I think. 2000, 2001. I have articles I wrote then. I have, and you know what? Like, sometimes I wrote stuff that's problematic. And it's still out there. You can go search my blog and find it. I said stuff I shouldn't have said. I said stuff I definitely wouldn't say now. And I was dismissive of certain problems in the community. I was like, I was not always the best version of, and I'm probably these days going to say something stupid, and I'm going to, and I hope I get called out on it if I say it now. You know, if I say something problematic now, please go ahead and call me out, because that's the only way I'm going to learn, but then allow me to learn from it.
Yeah.
Like, it's nuance, it's the death of nuance. And it is this idea that people are either good or bad, and it's all black and white, and it's these very strict lines. And the idea is that people aren't allowed to grow. People aren't allowed to learn. Like, it's part of if we're going to live in this world where information stays around forever, where everything we've ever done is accessible, we have to also, as a culture, be willing to forgive and be willing to allow for growth. It's, you know, the difference between, you know, someone could say something that's bad, and if they double down on it, if you call them out on it, that is bad. If they apologize and try to do better, you have to be okay with that.
Like, everyone makes mistakes, and you have to learn how to forgive yourself and others.
And, you know, I don't know if Ruby Rose is a good person. I don't care. I think that she's going to do a good job as Batwoman. Like, I would care. Like, I'm not saying I don't care at all, you know, about whatever. It's, you know, if she said, let's start drowning babies, I'd be like, no, let's not have her play Batwoman.
Right, obviously.
But, like, we gotta be people, man. We gotta be human. You know, and not the shitty kind of human who, like, you know, who do the... Yeah, like the good kind of person we pretend humanity is. Be a Star Trek person, not a Zack Snyder person.
I like that. It's a good way of putting it. That said, I think we can, speaking of terrible people, this
Let's
is one where they get
terrible people
their...
losing.
Let's talk about terrible people losing, because sometimes it happens. A while back, we actually covered this.
Super long ago.
It was
super long ago. Like,
it was,
before
it was
Gen was a member of the team.
Uh-huh.
Before Gen was a member of the convention team, I think.
What? Wait a
maybe,
second.
Maybe you were on board for that at that point. It was 2015.
Oh. Yeah, I was a... Because, like...
We might have recruited you for the con at that point. I think we did. But you weren't part of our... you weren't part of the media part of Nerd and Tie. For sure.
No. I was part of, like... other stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But yeah, we covered back a while ago some real stand-up people, I say, tongue firmly pressed against cheek.
That's back when we had a cis dude on the show.
Yeah. Remember that? That was a
thing.
A group of
men's
women for
activism.
Men's rights activism, the Honey Badger Brigade.
Yep.
I believe that, yeah, that's their...
They do an online radio show associated with the site Voice for Men.
Uh-huh. They tried suing the convention Calgary Expo and the blog The Mary Sue. Well, like, how did... I'm even trying
so,
to...
Okay.
Because they got kicked out of the... they got kicked out of Calgary Expo. And Calgary Expo, you know, as the law now agrees, rightfully claimed that the Honey Badgers said that they were going to be running an artist booth.
Well,
and they were not. They were just occupying and disrupting the event.
No, so, okay, so what happened specifically is that there was an artist booth. So... There's this artist who is a friend of theirs who signed up for a booth, but it was really the Honey Badger Brigade's booth, even though, like, it was effectively signed up under false pretenses. They didn't know they were giving an MRA group a table. And the Calgary Expo classifies the men's rights activist group, the Honey Badger Brigade, as a hate group because they consider MRAs and Gamergate a hate movement. Now, you have to remember,
because
this
is
still Gamergate. This is still Gamergate shit happening everywhere at the time, so... They were, like, selling pro Gamergate merchandise and, like, all this stuff behind the table. Now, at the same time, also
Can
members...
Can we pause to remember that was a thing?
Yeah.
That was a thing?
Yeah, and then they turned into the people who got the current president elected.
Jesus.
Anyways, so besides that, the members of the Honey Badger Brigade also were interrupting panels. Or specifically one, and we've got details on our website if you want to dig back into the archives and find out more about it. But effectively, they interrupted a panel, and they also got their table under false pretenses. So partway through the convention, after receiving complaints about the panel interruption, and frankly because they were, as classified by Calgary Expo, a hate group and in violation and misrepresented their table in the reservation, they were booted from the convention. Now, you might be asking yourself how the Mary Sue got involved in all of this. The Mary Sue just happened to write a bunch of articles about this, write one article that they updated a bunch of times about this during the event. Because it was, they first reported that the Honey Badger Brigade was there and then reported on them getting booted out. That's literally all they did. And so, but what, so it was insane that they got like made a party to this lawsuit at all, especially since the lawsuit was filed in Alberta, Canada, where the Mary Sue is a 100% U.S.-based operation, where the writers who wrote it were based in the United States and would in no way be under the jurisdiction of Canadian law for this. So that's probably why you haven't heard much. Like, the Mary Sue has made some public statements, like, a long time ago about this whole thing, but their whole statement was, we don't count as part of this. The Calgary, the Honey Badger Brigade crowdfunded their lawsuit. They crowdfunded it. I think they raised over $66,000 from the MRA community. They hired a disbarred former lawyer as their legal consultant. I am not kidding. And they filed this lawsuit.
Wonderful.
They filed this lawsuit, and we've written a couple of couple of things about it over the years, because it's been years, and apparently, you know, but they finally, like, the judge ruled on the case, and ruled against the Honey Badgers and in favor of Calgary Expo and the Mary Sue, effectively tossing the case right out on the street where it deserves to be. And of course the Honey Badgers are pissed as heck about this. They've released a really lengthy, nonsensical official statement, in which they misspell provincial.
How could we possibly lose when we misrepresented ourselves, acted as a hate group, and disrupted an event that we weren't invited to?
Importantly, so the judge actually refused to look at most of the evidence because, you know what, there's a whole thing that this case comes down to, which is something that I mentioned the first day we talked about it. The first time we talked about it, I mentioned it, is that in the Calgary Expo vendor contract and in every attendee contract, the policies that you agree to include a clause in which the Calgary Expo can boot anyone for any reason.
Uh-huh.
They do not need a legitimate reason based on the other policies. They literally can boot you for anything. And that clause is written to prevent you from rules lawyering. Like, oh, I'm not really a hate group, even if you say I am. Well, you can end the conversation right there if you're the con saying, okay, well, you got to go here. Now, the judge mostly still did it because he considered them a hate group. And so booted. But the fact is that even if they had managed to make an argument that they weren't being as disruptive, the fact is that there's a clause in their contract which says they could be booted for any reason. And they signed it, so screw them.
Good.
Yeah.
Sometimes the good guys win.
So, yeah, that's my mile-a-minute recounting of what happened in this case. Now, the Honey Badgers say they're going to fight back. They say that they're going to try to appeal, but...
What are they going to do?
Well, they might not be able to. So in their statement, they said, we'll either reveal the courts or the court of public opinion. And I'm like, you...
I think that's going to do anything.
I'm like, the majority of people who go to Calgary Expo think you're a bunch of creeps. If it would have hurt them in the court of public opinion, it would have hurt them already because they were fighting against you. So...
Uh-huh.
Like, that, you can't, oh, just so dumb. It's just so dumb.
It's amazing.
I'm so glad for them that it's over. Now, if everyone's stupid lawsuits would be over, that would be great. GoFundMe.com/nerdandtie.
Indeed. Yeah, no kidding. So that, like I said, sometimes the good guys win. That's a rare happy story. And one more bit of news that just hit, and I don't know how to take it. The fourth of the Kelvin timeline Star Trek films is still in a weird pre-production area. We don't know how things are going to happen. Apparently, they said they were working on it. It got set back. There was talk of a Quentin Tarantino script. We don't really have anything solid
on that.
Well,
that would have been an unrelated film.
Okay. Still, like, getting any production info on this Star Trek thing has been rough. And then we received word early, just this last week, that during some contract negotiations, things didn't work out quite well. So not only is this film no longer going to involve Chris Hemsworth returning as Captain Kirk's dad, but they also lost their other Chris, and we might be without a Captain Kirk.
We're down two Chrises!
We're down two
she
Chrises.
She cannot take it anymore!
That is two of the Hollywood Chrises. That's two.
But importantly, Chris Pine is, of course, Kirk.
The main character. Yeah, that's...
We're going Kirkless.
I
mean, do you recast Kirk? Do you just bring out William Shatner and hope no one notices?
You just CGI de-age him?
Yeah, CGI de-age Shatner. Just,
God, that
just,
sounds
no, no.
awful.
What you do is you take Shatner from the original series and you just, like, green screen him in to, like, all the shots and just cut select lines and then have Shatner record a few new ones and CGI them out. Like, just, no, don't even bother. She just clutch cargo it.
just the still frame and we'll put, like, we'll put modern Shatner's jaw under the still frame of, yeah,
yes,
of a
yes. Kid. Makes perfect sense.
Yeah, we are.
Oh man,
down two Chris's, down Kirk.
I think this movie's toast. Like whatever they had planned without Hemsworth, you know, you can recast Kirk, but like obviously they did it with Pine in the first place.
Dad Kirk, but you can't recast Kirk.
You can recast one, but you can't recast both. And it's all because Paramount wanted. So this is Paramount wanted to pay them less money. That's because Beyond didn't do that well. But Beyond didn't do that well because Paramount completely boffed up the promotion. There was they didn't promote it alongside the Trek anniversary. That was like nowhere in the promotion. They focused on like the worst like parts of like the film for the promotion. And I say this as a person who loves Star Trek Beyond. Star Trek Beyond is my favorite Kelvin timeline movie. Out of the three.
Agreed.
I mean, mind you, there's only one other good one for it to compete with, but...
it's still in my top five for favorite Trek movies, honestly.
No, it's really good. It is really, really good. It is a phenomenal film. If you held off on watching Star Trek Beyond and you haven't seen it yet, go watch Star Trek Beyond. It is phenomenal.
Please watch it.
I love
it's
that movie
good.
So much. But the fact is that because Paramount boffed up the promotion of it so badly that no one saw it, and they were trying to save money, and they're going to save some money, apparently, because they just lost two of the biggest names attached to the film. Like, the only way this could be worse is if they lost Zach Quinto and Zoe Saldana and all the other big... We've already lost Chekhov because
yeah,
the actor passed away.
It was going to be awkward like, enough having to explain why Chekhov's not there.
I figured they would just have him transferred to another ship.
They could send him to the Reliant, and there's no con to hurt him in this timeline, so he's safe.
Or we just have... Is Walter Koenig still alive, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You gotta, like, think about it at this point.
That's unfortunate. No. You're not wrong, but that's unfortunate.
We lost so many. I'm just like, I don't know. I'm pretty hopeless about the fourth Star Trek movie.
I didn't have a whole lot of hope, and this basically killed it for me.
Yeah, this is my last gasp of it. I mean, and it sucks because I would love to see more Simon Pegg Scotty. And
same.
Know, I loved Beyond so much, and it's just it's a real tragedy. And I don't know, do we have much more to say about Beyond, about Star Trek 4?
Not really. They are, I mean, sans Chris.
Because, you know, while I love Star Trek, the Star Trek movie franchise may be dead in the water, but you know what's been surprisingly good is the current batch of television Star Trek we've been getting.
It's true. I mean, there's been some not everyone has loved Discovery, but there's a lot of good in it.
I argue that Discovery is the strongest first season of a Star Trek series ever.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just saying I find it getting a lot of hate from people, which is unfortunate.
Well, that's also Paramount's fault, because most of the hate is design changes that they've had to make for that contract.
Yay.
But you know what? The only reason why it's a problem, though, is because Discovery is set prior to the original series, and we're trying to slot it into continuity.
Yeah, exactly.
You know where that wouldn't be a problem?
Where would that not be a problem?
Well, that wouldn't be a problem.
I'm sure this isn't leading to something.
If we had a series that was set after the destruction of Romulus.
Oh, that would be great. It's too bad that we don't have something like that.
We need a nostalgia angle, though. We need a nostalgia angle, though, for the network to feel safe about doing it, though, right?
Well, I hear that Patrick Stewart is still in really good shape and wants to do more Star Trek.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard that too, and unfortunately, I heard Alex Kurtzman was involved, and
that part's unfortunate.
But he's like the least worst member of that 2009 creative team.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you're not wrong. So basically, we know that a brand new Captain Picard-centered Star Trek show starring Patrick Stewart is getting made.
Yay! And while,
yay,
they
right?
announced it at Star Trek Las Vegas.
And while that is literally all we know about it...
That's all they know about it!
Uh-huh. Which means that we are free to wildly speculate.
Wild guessing! We're gonna pitch our own We're gonna pitch our own Picard show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
His head be shiny as heck, yo.
All right.
So all that's been announced about the show is that it's going to be a show set, you know, like 20 something years after the Next Generation ended. Or 20 years after Nemesis, sorry. It's going to be set 20 years after Nemesis, and it's going to be involving Picard, and he is not going to be captain of the Enterprise. Thank God someone actually had career development in the Star Trek universe.
That never happens. I don't trust this.
But that's all we know. It's going to be the next chapter in Jean-Luc Picard's life, and so... what we're going to do right now is guess what that next chapter is going to be. And I think the only thing it's safe to say is, unfortunately, what I would love to see is just the show about him running a vineyard in the future. And because the family vineyard burned down during the show, but we don't know. He could buy a new one. And because it burned down before Generations. We know that in one alternate future, though, he was still running a vineyard. So what if Jean-Luc Picard, winemaker in the future? And so, like, he's got to run a vineyard in a world. Now, Earth doesn't have money, right? So Federation credits sort of exist mostly as a way to interact with alien cultures. So... people still pursue things in the Star Trek world, in the utopia of future Earth. People still do stuff because they want to. And so I can see Jean-Luc Picard becoming, you know, the wine perfectionist like he did in an alternate timeline. But selling his wine you know, selling his wine across the stars to other races, you know, and maybe like the Orion Syndicate has to is trying to supply the bars they're using as fronts. And then he like ends up having to deal with intrigue or, you know, selling to the Ferengi and, you know, doing that. You know, I just think it's like, and just have it be a workplace comedy.
Okay.
Workplace comedy. So he's got to run the vineyard. And so Star Trek workplace comedy, and it's him and all the people working at the vineyard with him. And then like someone builds a new replicator that tastes more real. And then, you know, it's a panic and, you know, that they're going to lose their contract with, you know, the Andorans. And yeah. How about that?
You got something right there. I don't know what it is, but you got it. my show would admittedly be a little bit more expensive because of the other actor that I would need for it, but I feel like it would pay for itself. Jean-Luc, he's thinking about retiring. He's been with the Federation for a while, and then, much to his joy, he gets a call from one of his other friends who is also a former captain. And what do you know? Of all the people, it's played by Sir Ian McKellen.
Dang.
And it's just Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen going around having adventures as old guys in space. And they high-five each other a lot.
What if in the wine show that Ian McKellen's the sommelier of the vineyard?
I mean, sure, that can still happen.
I mean, I'm just saying.
I just want them to go up. I just want two old guys in space having adventures. That's all I'm asking. I'm sorry again. I didn't know you were thinking that.
No, I was just thinking, like, not even, like, Star Trek. I would just love a show of those two, like, going around and, like, I don't know, like, visiting gay pride parades all over the world. And, like, just, like, going to tea shops and, like, just a buddy, like, travel show with those two would be amazing.
Ooh.
Here's
an idea. Trained
actors.
Here's an idea. So we know that Wesley Crusher ascended with the Traveler, right?
Right.
And he did show up once for Riker's wedding. He canonically was there, even if they cut his scene. I think he's like still in the shot and tiny. But so what if it's like a reverse Doctor Who? So Wesley Crusher shows up because Will Wheaton's not doing anything. He's expressed interest in being in this show. Will Wheaton. So Wesley Crusher shows up. And who knows what Picard is doing? Maybe Picard is pursuing archaeology. You know, it's his big hobby.
Hey,
like he's
Will Wheaton was in that not particularly good Transformers cartoon. He's doing things.
Yeah, he's he's also the voice of all the off-screen Romulans in Star Trek 2009. But he is.
I know.
But so Wesley Crusher shows up, and. Like, so Picard's just on this planet, minding his own business, you know, dusting off a rock, really excited about, you know, whatever artifact he just found about some ancient civilization whose name we've never heard of, because we don't have to involve the rights from Paramount. And suddenly he shows up, though, and he's like, I need you. And he just starts dragging Picard across space and time on adventures, only it's reverse Doctor Who, because Picard's the more experienced person, the smarter person between the two. And so just, like, wild-eyed adventure Picard being tossed into, like, the middle of, like, you know, Cardassia Prime and, like, some street-based revolution trying to save the day, or then, like, dragged across the Delta Quadrant and suddenly, like, the Kazon are trying to kill him. Meanwhile, like, just, like, running with Wesley everywhere. Like, I'm just saying, reverse Doctor Who, where the companion knows more than the doctor.
I like it.
I would watch that too.
I would honestly watch that.
Alternatively, I have so many ideas. Mm-hmm. I have so
okay,
many.
Okay, you
ideas.
Have several. Okay, that's
I have several.
Good.
I have so many. So Starfleet Academy. And this could go more than one way. Picard as retired captain is now running Starfleet Academy, and you could do this as a comedy, you know, like, you know, a la Scrubs, where he's like the Dr. He's the Dr. Cox of Starfleet Academy, and he's having to like deal with these like students trying to blow themselves up. And you could do it as like a comedy, or you could do it as a really serious show where, like, you know, Earth is always under threat, and like, you know, the machinations of, you know, Starfleet Command about what someone's trying to do with the Academy or the cadets, or someone's trying to infiltrate the place and, you know, do high espionage. Or even better, you do both. You do wacky hijinks comedy with super high stakes.
And that might not be a great idea.
I don't know. It's like if you combined ER, Scrubs, and Star Trek.
That sounds like a dreadful idea.
Okay, but what if they just did live action Bebop?
Oh, and have Patrick Stewart play Jet?
Sure.
That's a really good idea.
Oh no, what have we stumbled upon?
Yeah, just except instead of, you know, the Bebop, they just have like a runabout.
Yeah.
We could dig up Vash.
At first, I had a moment of confusion. I'm like, that's Trigun. I'm like, no, damn it.
The Star Trek character Vash. Yeah. Picard's kind of love interest from that episode on Ryza. And then later she ran off with Q. Or we could just...
I reiterate. I have worked... For those at home who missed out on this knowledge, I've actually gone to work every day for the last 16 days, so I'm not in my best right now.
Alternate idea. So we go with just straight... Picard's an archaeologist, and we pitch it as that, and Q shows up in the first episode. And you think it's just going to be a one-time thing. But then wherever Picard goes, no matter what he's trying to do, just halfway through the episode, Q shows up every single time. And even though he's really a regular on the show, you just always guest starring John DeLancey at the end of the credits.
Excellent.
And just every episode, just anytime he's trying to get anything done, just Q shows up, finishes it, and goes, you're free to play with me now, and just running away. From Constant Q. We'll call it Constant Q.
I like it. It's actually probably one of the better ones.
Our friend Amy, who is nicknamed Q, will appreciate it for other reasons.
Yeah, she doesn't listen to the show.
Oh, boy.
I don't know. More realistically, I think it's going to be archaeology or some position at Starfleet Command. I mean, I'd love to see Starfleet Intelligence starring, you know, Jean-Luc Picard running Starfleet Intelligence. But
I think it'd be really cool to have him kind of like more of a like Han, like him being younger and like being more of like a Han Solo character, just like off on his own doing whatever.
Yeah, well, I think the archaeologist setup would work well with that.
So Space Indiana Jones. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? I mean, they've already built into his character that he has, you know, the hobby, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah, it's, I mean, the other, okay, so the other thing is like, you could do, like, 20 years after Nemesis, you know, whatever, the Federation is in crisis. Like, their main supplier of dilithium crystals, the primary catalyst, you know, of course, for, you know, the ships, are disappearing. Space and time start folding around several planets, isolating them from outside contact, and the phenomenon's unnatural. Like, someone's causing it to happen. And so Picard would need to, with drastic measures, would, like, with like along with like maybe like Admiral Pavel Chekhov, like with and like Tuvok would he'd and Tuvok like would be like head of Section 31 or something stupid like that. And like Picard would have to put together like a ragtag ship of people to like, you know, try to investigate this. Like it's like a renegade crew. A renegade's crew.
No, no.
And
no, I know where you're going with this. We're not doing this again. We're not going to have Ichab as Mega Man. We're not going to have really uncomfortably obsessed with sexual assault aliens. We're not doing this again.
But Edward Furlong.
No.
And we could kill Vic Mignogna.
Okay, wait, I'm all about
that.
Yeah,
right? No, right. We get to kill Vic Mignogna. For people who... Okay, so there are... Star Trek Renegades is a fan film, and you should watch it because it's awful and the worst thing ever. And involves so many actors who you actually like and other things. And maybe learn why writing is harder than acting. Or at least a completely different skill. Yeah, no, I'll say a different skill.
It is a mess of a fan film. Even by fan film standards, it is... Whew,
it is...
Woof.
Yeah. You know... Tim Russ directed it!
Yeah, not good enough.
I can't believe they wanted to try to pitch that as like a real show.
That's the worst
part. They made a pilot
maybe.
And pitched it.
Maybe had they, decided, you know, to just, make a fan film with a bunch of the Star Trek actors, we'd be like, okay, that's cute. But then when it was like, yeah, and we're going to make this an actual TV show, it was like, oh, okay. Okay, sit down, Timmy.
Yeah, no, they wanted to make it as a TV show, and it's just so bad. They made an original music video for this thing. Like a song. Like you can go find it on... Yeah, I don't know if it's still up on YouTube. So the problem is that, like, they're still trying to make more Renegades. They just took the Star Trek off the label with the new fan film guidelines.
Of course they did.
But I'm thinking Picard Renegades.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, alternate take. Go back to the Cowboy Bebop thing. Picard Renegade. He's a bounty hunter riding through space on his space motorcycle instead of a spaceship. Yeah. With Lorenzo Lamas.
Okay. This is...
Show Renegade. And
it's getting weird.
Watch that. Just saying.
It's getting sad.
I don't know. Any other pitches?
I don't know, maybe a Spaceballs crossover.
How would that work?
I don't know. Mel Brooks isn't up to much these days.
Right,
yeah.
No, but if you're going to pitch it, you got to explain it. How would that work?
I don't know.
How are the executives ever going to take us seriously again?
Well...
They're gonna laugh us right out of their offices.
Not a screenwriter, dang it.
Oh man. I just hope this doesn't turn out to be I hope it turns out to be good. Cause I am in desperate want of like post Voyager Star Trek.
I would like some more Star Trek. That would be good.
I mean, I should say post destruction of Romulus, because that's the latest event we have in the prime timeline, is when Spock went back in time in Star Trek 2009.
The Amazon prime timeline.
Like there's a lot of stuff I'd like to see. Like no CBS All Access. There's a lot of stuff I'd like to see. Like I'd love to see a Starfleet intelligence show, and just explore the political ramifications. But I don't know if Picard would be the right fit for that. So. I'll take whatever I can get, and I just want to know more about the world. I'm a Star Trek fan. I want to know the political climate, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's way easier to rationalize stuff that doesn't take place. Like, visual differences are easier to rationalize when it doesn't take place prior to the thing you've already seen.
Right.
Right? I don't know.
Completely agreed.
We don't have any mailbag this episode.
Yeah, not... Hey guys, come on. Next time, send us some mail. Can even be just, hey, Nick, I like your pants.
All right, so we should move on to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge then, I think. Is that the smart play? All right.
Might as well. Let's do that.
Welcome to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge, the part of the show where I read part of a book to you, and the challenge to you, the listener, is to guess what book I am reading from. If you guess correctly, you get included in our Hall of Awesome. The benefits of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. 1, we put your name on our website. 2, we read your name aloud on the episodes. And 3, you get the satisfaction of a job well done for the first time in your life, and you know why that is. All right, so the current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkham, Zero, Renan Sunday, Cheesy McDamia, Crystal, Slither D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Man, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lillisaurus, Paper Godzilla, Cavsey, Minnesota Librarian, Sean Orange, Keith Shizuos, and Sakura Sunset. I shall now pull out the book that I've been reading these last several episodes and speak to whatever I find here. All right. Yet now I see no lock we may employ. So what for our dear freedom is the key? If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com, click on the Formy form, and tell us. Or if you'd like to actually, like, you know, write us some mail for the mailbag, you should go there too. Ask, give us your pitch for a Star Trek series with Picard. Or if we said one you liked, tell us what it is. Give us your thoughts on the awfulness of MRAs and how you're glad they lost something because they deserved it. And,
agreed.
Talk about your thoughts about the future of the Star Trek films, or talk about your thoughts about the casting of Ruby Rose's Batwoman. Talk to us about your favorite flavor of ice cream. Mine's strawberry. All right.
I guess mint chocolate chip. Yeah. I like that.
I also like cookie dough. Cookie dough's good.
Cookie dough's all right.
Half baked. I love half baked.
You're baked.
But I'm always gonna love a straight strawberry, like just a good strawberry ice cream. It's just delicious. Which I don't get it a lot.
All the ice creams I can eat.
I don't get strawberry ice cream that much anymore though, because often they'll put real chunks of strawberry in there, and my wife's allergic to strawberries, and so I don't like to, you know, have them in the house. Or, like, I don't want to, like, accidentally have some raw strawberry in my teeth that when I kiss my wife. Like, there's always a risk with the seeds. And so, yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, so Eric's allowed to have nuts in his ice cream. But he knows that, like, he can't have smooches for, like, the rest of the day, for sure.
Yeah.
Fair.
Like a good peanut butter parfait at Dairy Queen.
I love their, you can get an ice cream cupcake, which is a single serving of their ice cream cake.
Yeah, I saw that when I was, I think.
Those are good.
I think Q got one of those when we went to the Menominee Street DQ in Eau Claire.
Yeah.
But I what I miss? I miss the brownie earthquakes. Like, they replaced it with this other thing with the brownie, but it's like it's a different kind of brownie, and so it's not the same experience as the old brownie earthquake. I miss the brownie earthquake, the classic.
You know, actually, I did remember my favorite dessert related to ice cream that I haven't had in far too long. Mm. It was the only good thing that came from the movie Fant Four Stick, directed by Josh Trank. And that was on the Denny's themed menu, the Dr. Doom lava cake, which is not unlike the normal Denny's lava cake, but it didn't use vanilla ice cream, it used chocolate. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to humanity.
Eric and I were out at Chili's, and they have a s'mores lava cake right now.
Oh my god.
Where it's like a graham vanilla cake with chocolate inside and then a melted marshmallow topping.
I feel like I just got diabetes hearing that. I want it.
So
yeah, I don't go to DQ much over here. We got King Cone.
Well,
that
the
Menominee satisfies cravings.
So the Menominee Street one here in Eau Claire is a weird DQ because it's like it's an old contract franchise.
Yep.
So like
I love that one.
So half of their menu is not like the real
menu.
And then when you get like a when you get a Blizzard there, they like they're gigantic.
That that's my favorite DQ. It's so old and janky
super
and I
tall.
Love it.
Yeah, it's but like they have hot food, but it's not like the what they used to call the Brazier, now they call the Grill and Chill like menu. It's a completely different menu because they're only contracted to DQ for the ice cream stuff. And they just start, you know, so it's like it's a weird experience. And it's right at the opening of Carson Park, so like, you know, you can go get ice cream and then sit on the lake and eat it. Sit on Half Moon Lake on one of the benches, like on the Bronze Bay Peninsula. Oh yeah. That's an afternoon. Speaking of afternoons,
we
probably
like
get going.
I think we did a pretty good show tonight, you guys. We should wrap it up. Trey, where can you find us online?
Well, you can always follow Nerd and Tie online. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, or anywhere else that fine podcasts are distributed over RSS feed. And you can find our RSS feed at nerdandtie.com. Remember, you can follow the show on social media at Nerd and Tie on Twitter, nerdandtie.tumblr.com on Tumblr, and Facebook. .com/nerdandtie. Remember, you can support the show financially by either sponsoring episodes. You can find information on nerdandtie.com. You can support the show's legal fund at gofundme.com/nerdandtie. Or you can support us all individually. I have a Patreon at patreon.com/TRAEGORN. You can support Nick on Patreon at patreon.com/NickAzumi. Or you can support Gen by either going to find her Ocelot Dude Designs Etsy shop and Society 6 shop, or you can support her by contributing to her coffee link at coffee/Genjamin. Who
Indeed.
Were we?
Indeed. And of course, live from the Nerder Dome, we were Nerd and Tie. That is made up of. Over here, we still have.
Trey Dorn. Usually you start with yourself, but I'm Trey Dorn.
I do myself last because I'm the last.
Consider it.
Kicking it from where they are. We've got.
No, I want King Cone though. I'm getting proc. Missing King Cone. I could go get some, but I'm lazy.
You should just get some.
Say your damn name, Nick.
Also, not near anything related to ice cream. I am Nick Izumi. Thank you for listening to us for another fortnight, and remember to keep on spockin' in the free world.
I didn't think we were going to fill an hour, but then we talked about ice cream. This is what happens.
This is me you're talking to. I have a second stomach solely for ice cream.
Fair.
Who did you like kill someone and take their stomach?
No, it's like Spike. And he swallows the cigarette in the movie.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
I need to
I got an extra,
that movie.
Extra space in there just for ice cream.
I don't even know what's happening anymore.